We're going to go to the first chapter, and we're going to be reading verses 16 to 32. Romans 1, 16 to 32. If you're using the Bibles in front of you, you will find that on page 796. And we read these words. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, first for the Jews, and then the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they proclaimed to be wise, they became fools. In exchange for the glory of the immortal God, for images made to look like mortal men, birds, and animals, and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to their sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity and degradations of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to their sinful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves a due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to the depraved mind to do what ought not be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are filled of envy, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossip, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless, and although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they do not only continue to do these very things, but they also approve of those who practice them. Wow. That's all I can say about that passage of Scripture, and look forward to hearing what God has to say to us today. Amen.
Thank you, Matt. Children's church is dismissed. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask that you'd please open up once again to the book of Romans chapter 1. The book of Romans chapter 1. In case you haven't noticed, in case you've never seen a newspaper lately, or you've never heard the news, or you have no idea what's going on, our nation is in a mess. Our nation is in a pickle. There just isn't any doubt about it. And it's basically because people have turned their backs on God. We as a country have turned our backs on God. We've turned our backs on the way that God has established that things ought to be. In this nation and in any nation throughout the world. You know, when our country was formed, we had founding fathers who believed very strongly in the Word of God. Founding fathers who believed that God had moral absolutes that ought to be adhered to. They established the principles of law for this nation based upon the Ten Commandments, based upon the law of God. And now, what we see happening is in public government buildings, they want to remove the Ten Commandments. When you look at courthouses, they want to take away the Ten Commandments because they may offend someone. Well, when are we as a people and as a nation realize that in an effort to protect from offending someone who believes wrong, we are offending God? When are we going to come to that realization? When are we going to come to the point when we recognize that, you know what, if people get offended, they get offended, but we will honor the word of the Lord. And we will honor God. This particular passage of Scripture that Pastor Homer read is a passage of Scripture that so often people totally disregard. It is a powerful passage. It is a condemning passage when it comes to the fact that man is without excuse when it comes to the knowledge of God. Without excuse. And there are those who say, well, you know what, I don't own a Bible, therefore I'm not responsible for what's in the Bible. This passage of Scripture says that ain't true. You know, stop and figure, if that reasoning were reality, then the best thing that we could do would be to gather together every Bible that was ever produced and burn it, destroy it all. But this passage of Scripture says, you know what? That's not going to be an excuse. Because man chose not to keep God in his heart. And so man is without excuse. I want to share with you out of this passage of Scripture six things today on the reasons for wrath. And I'm going to be absolutely honest with you folks. I firmly believe with all of my heart that this country is experiencing many of the things we're experiencing because God is giving one last chance for us to repent as a nation. And folks, we repent as a nation when the church gets right with God. Not the world. When the church gets right with God. But I want to share with you these six things on the reason for wrath. Self-suppression, seen superiority, sent away, sinful sex, steady departure, and then stupid decisions. And by the way, that last one, if that hurts, then change your mind. Let's look at this. First of all, I want you to notice in verses 16 and 17, you've got the Apostle Paul who is going to stand up, and he doesn't care what people think. And I'm going to tell you, any preacher worth his salt doesn't care what people think when it comes to sharing the truth of the Word of God. Any preacher who thinks that he's there to please the people is in the wrong business and is not helping the church that he pastors. Paul understood that. And he came out with this expression. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew and also to the Greek. For in it," in the gospel, "for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." Folks, if anything in this message today hurts, it ain't my fault. It's God's. So you'd better listen. God has not changed his positions on sin. Man has, but God has not. The things that were sin 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago are sin yet today. And we, as the body of Christ, owe no apologies for taking a strong stand against sinful behavior. Now, I want you to notice how we got in the mess that we're in modern day life. Because it is a digression that happens. And as you look at these six things, you're going to see that there's a step downward that happens because one thing is related to the next. When we honor God and place Him in His proper place in our lives as Lord and as supreme of all things, then we're walking as we ought to in faith. But I'll tell you what, when we depart from that at all, when we waver, we are creating a mess for our lives. Now, let's look at this. First of all, I want you to notice an element that begins to take place is self-suppression. Look at verses 18 and 19. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Now catch this. Who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. All right? Every individual in this world who is born with a knowledge down deep inside that there is a God. And that God is the God of creation. And in His creating man, He sets the standards. And if we are to have hope beyond this life, we must acknowledge who He is, and we must submit ourselves to Him. Now, whether you've got a Bible or whether you don't, it doesn't matter. God created you with that innate knowledge inside of you. And that's exactly what these verses are saying. People willfully suppress the truth of God and press it down because of sinfulness and sinful behavior, and people would rather live in sin than they would live in righteousness because it's easier to live a life of sin than it is to live a life of following God. Don't suppress the truth of God. Because you'll be without excuse. When it comes time to stand before God, I don't care whether someone is in deep South America, if they are in deep dark Africa, if they are in the frozen tundra of the North Pole, I don't care where they are, or whether they have a Bible or not, God created them with a knowledge that He exists. And when man enters into a life of sinfulness, they take that knowledge of God and they push it down, push it down, push it down, and push it down. There is not a created atheist. Not one. There is a self-serving atheist, but God never created an atheist. They chose to be atheists by suppressing the truth of the knowledge of God. Self-suppression. When that begins to happen, I want you to notice this. Secondly, notice that there is seen superiority. Look at verses 20 through 23. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His being God. Okay? His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made so that they are without excuse. In other words, to put it simply, we see God's superiority even in creation. For creation itself cries out, there is a God. And that He has created everything. And that even though we can't see Him or see His attributes, His superiority, His attributes are at work even in nature. For it's too orderly to have happened. I remember reading, it's probably been about 10 or 11 years ago, where we're starting to see now this whole God particle garbage that's coming out. But I'm going to tell you, folks, if you want to know about the God particle, read the Word of God. Don't read a science manual. These guys are way out there. All right? But I remember reading about science had finally discovered the beginning of the Big Bang. You know the Big Bang theory? And they had declared that all elements existed in a compact little ball the size of a marble. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you can believe that garbage, you've got a whole lot more faith than I have. But somehow, all of those molecules began to rub against each other and create heat and friction and all that stuff, and that marble exploded. And out of that explosion came the universes. And out of the universes then, and all of those little things that were inside of that marble-sized doohickey. Out of that then came all of the elements for life. And they just happened by chance to be on this planet. And that's where the single cell amoebas and things like that began to develop and crawl out of the ocean. And as they crawled out of the ocean, they stood up. And as they began to stand up, they began to take on the form of monkeys. And out of the form of monkeys came your aunt and uncle. Surely not you. But every one of us is going to look at our family and say, oh boy, that great uncle of mine. Yeah, I suddenly believe this whole thing. But that's not the way it is, but that's what they claim. Now, I'm going to tell you, folks, if you can believe that, you've got a lot more faith than I do. The Big Bang happened this way. God said, let there be, and bang, there it was. That's the Big Bang. And so, as you begin to look at this, as we even look through nature, even before coming to know Christ, even nature declares there is a God. There is a Creator. And He has made Himself evident even through nature so that man is without excuse when he says, well, I didn't have a Bible. I didn't have an evangelical church in my community or a Nazarene church or a Wesleyan church or a Baptist church or whatever church you want to call. I didn't have one of those, therefore I am let off the hook. God says, no, there will be no excuses at the judgment. For God's superiority is seen, even in nature. Now look at this, beginning with verse 21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Professing to be greatly intelligent individuals, they became morons. They became stupid by elevating the created above the creator. They're without excuse, professing to be wise, they became fools. And now look at this, verse 23. And exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Folks, I'm going to tell you, it's exactly the result of evolution. Evolution elevates the crawling, creepy creatures above man. Do you know why that's an insult? I'll tell you why it's an insult. Because man is the only created being that was created in the image of God. You know that ape that you go to the zoo to see? And they're always a lot of fun. I can remember one time when our kids were young, and Joyce can verify this, but our kids were young, and we went to the zoo, and I can't remember if it was in Pittsburgh. I think it was in Columbus Zoo. And we had Lynette, and she was just little at the time, and she was carrying around a baby doll. And as we came to that gorilla cage, there was a gorilla sitting in there who had a baby doll. And Lynette just kind of showed her little baby doll, and that gorilla kind of went like that, showing her baby. Now, there are those who would say, because of that, that proves that we evolved from them. No, it doesn't. It doesn't prove anything. Proves the monkey had a baby doll. That's all it proves. But you know what? Our existence proves the existence of God in that we are created in His image. We have the ability to reason. We have the ability to communicate. We have the ability to have a spiritual relationship. We have God as our creator. I wonder if sometimes we aren't stupider than the animals because the animals acknowledge God as their creator. They do what they were created to do. People don't. People invent ways to go against the nature of God. Number three, I want you to notice the sent away. Oh boy, I got to move quick. The sent away, verses 24 and 25. Therefore, now remember, man has exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, beast, that kind of thing. Therefore, now, whenever you see therefore, you have to look and see what it was there for. Remember that. What's this meaning? It meaning you have to pay attention to what was just said. All right. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Folks, I'm going to tell you, if you're going to buy the lie that science has produced saying man has evolved, that's why he's become what he's become, you're buying the lie that God is going to totally disregard, and he's going to totally throw out. That's trash. That's garbage. That is man elevating the created above the creator. Don't fall for the lie. And so, God gave them over. He sent them away from his presence. Every one of us is created in the image of God, with the presence of God. When we choose sin and sinful behavior, we are cast aside. We're sent away. And there's a progression that begins to happen. And look at the sinful sex issue that's brought out in verses 26 and 27. It's a huge battle in our nation today. In fact, it's a huge battle in this world. For this reason, verse 26, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Lesbianism, homosexuality is an affront to God. It is sinful behavior. It is not an alternative lifestyle. People are not created to be homosexuals and lesbians. They choose that kind of behavior. And they do that in an effort of insult towards God. And God will just give them over. That's what you want. That's what you can have. But I'll tell you, in the last 20 years in this nation, we have seen an aggressiveness that has grown more and more and more and more. And now there are gay pride parades and all of that. It is no longer shameful behavior to be involved in sinful behaviors. And if you stand up against it, you're the problem. And that's the direction that our nation is taking. If you follow God's plan, there's something wrong with you, our society says. If you declare God's standards, then you're a bigot, is what our country says. We'd better obey God. We'd better honor Him. Now I want you to notice the steady departure, verses 28 through 31. I'm trying to move quickly through these. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. But being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. It's a progression that takes place. Created in the image of God, with an innate knowledge of who God is and that He exists, to the fall of where man begins to declare there is no God. You can't fall any further than that. And that, my friends, is a stupid decision. Look at verse 32. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Gay pride parade takes place. People stand on the streets. Yeah. Yeah. they give hearty approval. And one more nail in the coffin of our nation is driven. When man fails to acknowledge the existence of God, the nation falls. No nation has ever embraced homosexuality and survived. No nation has ever embraced homosexuality and prospered. Pastor, Europe is still surviving. Yeah. But I challenge you to find a church in Europe, Switzerland, Sweden, various places that are embracing those types of lifestyles, and find a place where they're teaching and preaching truth. You're not going to find them. Folks, we're next. Is there hope? Yeah. The hope is this. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. I've said it before. I'll continue to say it. If there's any hope for our country, the church has got to get right with God. Let's stand. The reason for the wrath of God is very simple. Man's turned his back. Man has turned his back on God. I'm going to ask you to take your hymnals, open up to number 376. It's a very simple song. It's "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." If you're here today, I'm going to ask you to do something that's difficult to do, but it's important. I'm going to ask you, if God is speaking to your heart and you have to say, you know what? I haven't retained God in my life the way that I know that I should. And I need to repent of that. Start fresh with Him. I'm going to ask you to step out of where you're at, come up here, kneel at this altar, kneel at one of these pews, whatever. But just today, make certain that your heart and your life is right. If you're going to decide today to follow Jesus, come what may, and be a part of the solution of repenting of your sin and seeking God in a greater fashion, I invite you to come. So we're going to sing, and if God is speaking to you, I'm not going to say another word. If God is speaking to you, I'm going to ask you to step out and come, and we'll pray, and we'll close the service. So it's up to you.